The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, when I was in Northern Ireland recently, I was told a story by someone there. And I couldn't tell, it sounded like it was told as if it was true. So hopefully it was true. But it was a variation of a classic old ancient story about where the subject is a donkey. But the way the story was told to me was that it used to have very sharp borders between Ireland and Northern Ireland. And it was a militarized zone, basically. People were smuggling things, but some people were smuggling guns to Northern Ireland, but there was all kinds of smuggling going on, I guess. And this British, or this border guard, after the border was taken down, ran into this woman, I think she was in a wheelchair, and said, you know, you used to come across the border regularly, and I always had the impression you were smuggling. But we can never figure out what you were smuggling. And she said, oh yeah, I was smuggling. I was smuggling wheelchairs. And so the old story has to do with a donkey, you know. A guy goes across the border walking in his donkey, and the border guard said, what were you smuggling all those years? Donkeys. From one country to the other. So I thought of that story because sometimes we pay attention to one thing and missing out something else, what's really going on in terms of our practice. And when I was in a monastery in Japan, Zen monastery, the short story is I didn't like it very much there. I didn't think it was a good place for me to practice after a while, for a variety of reasons. I didn't think it was so serious. But I stuck it out, the period I committed myself to. And then I left. And after I left, I was so surprised to discover how much I'd been affected and changed from the time in the monastery. I hadn't seen it when I was there. And what had happened to me was that the training in the monastery was a physical training. It was a training through the body. And I was focusing on my mind and my getting concentrated and being mindful and, you know, all this. I had one idea of what I was smuggling into the Dharma. And really, there was something, you know, there was something else being smuggled in or being snuck in, you know, developing. And that was this variety of things in my body. So that what I meant by body is that a lot of Zen training is through the body, through the forms that you hold yourself in. So you don't just kind of walk in, you don't only walk into a room mindfully, but you walk into the room like a meditation hall with particular form, holding your body in a particular way. You hold your hands like this. You don't just keep your hands in your pocket. Here you can keep your hands in your pocket when you come into our hall. But, you know, then you hold your hands like this, upright, and requires a certain kind of attentiveness with your body to do this. And you pass someone in the pathway, you don't just hey George, give them a high five or something. You actually bring your hands together in a very intentional way and you bow to them. And there's a kind of a physical involvement with that greeting. And there's many, many ways in which you use your body that way. So like when I was reprimanded in the monastery when I was setting the dinner table for all the monks. I would go to the kitchen, get the food, and carry it down to the dining hall. And I grabbed a pot of rice. And there was two handles, right? And I just hold it, one handle. It wasn't so heavy, so I was just holding it one handle, carrying it in. And I was reprimanded because when you carry rice like that, you're supposed to carry it with both hands because that's respectful. So again, they had to have respect. You know, you have to respect the rice. You hold it with both hands. You don't do it casually. But it also what it meant was you kind of engage with your whole body, present for that what you're doing. The cumulative effect of every day for months on end kind of having this very intentional form that you enter into and take on, was it affected me. It snuck in, it smuggled in a certain kind of stability, strength, presence in my body, that I became much more aware. After I left the monastery, I became aware how much more inner stability I had, physical stability I had, and how much I was attentive and mindful through my body to what I was doing, and aware of my body. And it was very helpful for me because it helped me monitor much more, much better, how much I was caught, not caught, how present I was, how not present I was, and it added to my presence. And so the idea that, there's other things, there's a lot of things going on in practice, some of them which are you're not paying attention to. You know, you're the border guard, right, looking for something important to happen. And some people are, you know, many people measuring themselves, checking themselves out. This is, have I made progress, the right kind of progress yet in meditation? There are things that you can, certainly monitoring is a very important part of practice, this kind of inner monitoring. But there's also ways in which practice unfolds in many ways, more ways than often we realize. This is all to lead up to a point I wanted to make, is that regular practice, practicing every day, day in, day out, independent of what you think might be going on, I'm getting more concentrated, more mindful, and whatever it might be, more free, more relaxed, the regularity of the practice creates a kind of strength within, of regularity, of discipline. And if you do that discipline with your body, putting yourself in the same stable, upright posture, whether you want to or not, whether it's chaotic in your mind or not, whether you're still or not, whether you're brokenhearted or not, whether you're completely confused about what to do with your life, whether you're completely overwhelmed what's going on, no matter what goes on, you don't succumb to anything, you don't give in completely to whatever is going on, but you meet it, you're present for it with this, stable, upright posture here, okay? So you might think that you're the complete disaster, Buddhist disaster. You're a disaster sitting upright, strong. You think that your life's falling apart around you. You sit up, strong, over and over and over again. And something begins happening and shifting and changing within that may be not so visible or obvious. A certain kind of inner stability, a certain kind of inner equanimity, a certain kind of balance, a certain kind of inner strength that we carry with us through what we're doing, whatever's going on. You find yourself in future situations, maybe you're not even sitting and meditating, but you have the capacity to meet it with some way of being stable, some way of not being pushed around by it, some ability just to stay and be, keep showing up and be there for that, for that, for that. And it's kind of dumb Buddhism, in the sense that it doesn't require a lot of intelligence to just sit upright and be present. It doesn't require a lot of wisdom or, it's kind of a physical, almost a brute force kind of thing, It's physical, what I'm talking about today, at least, is physical showing up with your body and staying there and being present, upright, no matter what. You want to cry. You could just collapse on the floor in a puddle. Or you could sit upright and let the and be an island around the puddle that forms around you, but you don't just let the tears flow. You have the stability, the strength, this regularity, this here you are, this rootedness, and slowly that gives a person a tremendous amount of strength to go through life with a certain degree of equanimity, with balance to what's going on. And I kind of was thinking of talking about this today because I just spent a few days at the Zen monastery at Tassajara. And it was really obvious there. I was reminded how that practice worked for me and how much of a body practice, how much I benefited just from the forms, not from what I thought was going on at the time. But also it was really obvious I could see there were people there who had spent a year, 2 years there, who I'd known a year ago, one of them, had a lot of psychological difficulties and challenges, and that the psychological difficulties hadn't really improved so much in the conventional way, but the person had this greater capacity for stability, being upright, being present, not being, you know, just holding themselves in an upright way through it all, that gave the person a certain strength in the midst of the difficulties, psychological difficulties, that weren't there before. But it was, you know, it took, you know, months of Zen practice, sitting upright, holding your hands like this, discipline of showing up for your job, the regularity of the whole monastic life. So some of that can also be happen for all of us here in our regular non-monastic life. A simple thing of just having a meditation practice every day, day in and day out, and sitting upright, giving in, not saying, "Well, today I'm sitting on the couch." You know, today I'll just stay in bed and meditate lying down. You know, it's, you know, lying down is good. I'm mindful, I'm present, I'm relaxed. It's good, but you don't get that benefit, you know, of sitting upright in the midst of whatever is going on, good or bad. And so regularity of practice is so important. Will you practice every day, whether you want to or not? Because once you start engaging in this question, do I want to, do I not want to, should I, shouldn't I, then you know, you lose this inner, this other training, this other smuggling thing that's going on, that you're trying to sneak by the border guard. And then the border guard of your, maybe the border guard of your usual conventional preferences, what you want and don't want to have happen. Just the regularity, day in, whether you want to or not, whether it's difficult or not, whether you know, just, you just show up. Show up, you're there, you're there, you're there. So those are my thoughts for today.